live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Someone looked over at me sitting in the back and said, how are you going to follow this service? So I was just sitting there praying, you know, maybe Pastor Rob will just preach this morning. It's like following Billy Graham here, because the presence of God has been so powerful. I really feel that there's been burdens lifted from folks this morning. I felt when we gathered for prayer, I just felt a renewal or a freedom that was coming into this body. And then the direction of this service, I can see that freedom or that renewal, or that even at this season change, we just, it's like, whew, there's something fresh. So let's not try to figure it out, but let's get in the middle of it, you know? So in saying all that, now I have to teach and make a twist here, not to preach, but to teach. So we are going to have a short teaching. I've cut a whole bunch of it out because you already got it. Isn't it? See, God can do something in 2 minutes that can take us a week to do. Isn't that amazing? That's God. Look at all the things in our life that even in the physical realm that we work and work and work and work on, and God can do it in just a blink of an eye. Isn't that amazing? That's who we serve. So we have a message this morning on establishing healthy boundaries. And this will wrap up our series on Life Group. And I gave you a handout. You don't have to look at it yet. And like I said, we're really going to be condensed. And I believe this morning that people will not leave the same way they came today, in Jesus' name. So Pastor Rob taught us there about 3 or 4 weeks ago on connect, grow, serve. And then Pastors Otis and Ivy taught us on the power of community. Brother Leland last week taught us on resolving conflicts. Hopefully nobody got any conflicts last week. And today I'm going to teach on establishing healthy boundaries. So just a quick illustration, and you know I like props and this and that, and I just felt I had all kind of ideas, but I thought the service was going to be unique this morning, so I didn't bring anything in, and I'm glad I didn't. But I did spend the time, and the last couple rows of seats, did you notice they had a piece of tape on them? And I didn't do that to bring folks forward, because I thought about doing it in the middle. I did that so you could see that there was a boundary there. And I know most folks came in, probably looked at those seats and thought, what's going on? I can't sit there. Wonder who's coming? What's you know, does Pastor want us up front? What's going on? So don't take offense to those two rows being marked off. You saw that there was an established boundary. Well, then after service started, Miss Diane came in, and there really wasn't places to sit in here, and she walked over to me and she said something like, can we sit there, or why can't we sit there? I said, oh, no, you can sit there. Here, let me move it. And I took that tape off the row, and Miss Diane and her family sat down, and then I saw Miss Crystal come in, and she was just standing in the back looking. Crystal's like, yeah, she was. And I was like, oh, I got to get over there, you know. And she's going to turn around and go out the door. And so I ran over, I said, oh, no, you can sit here, and I moved it. But do you see, I didn't expect that to happen, but do you see those families? They recognize that boundary, and they knew they couldn't just cross it. They had to talk to someone before they got rid of that boundary. So we have to establish as believers in the body healthy boundaries in our life. And you know, I felt like I'm a little bit educated here lately on this topic, because I had a family member move in, an adult family member move in 7 weeks ago in my house. And so we've really been working at creating healthy boundaries. So, it's okay. Those of you who I've said things to, the Lord has told me to only say positive things from here on out. So, I've asked for forgiveness. I only say positive things. But you think, okay, what are a boundary? Are boundaries something biblical? A boundary is, like we said, it's a dividing line. In geography, if you have property, your property is bound off. There's lines around it. Boundaries in the physical are fences, hedges, your yards that you mow. You have a nice groomed yard. Walls are boundaries. We can't see the children over there, and they can't see us. We've got a boundary between us. Signs. What happens if someone removes a stop sign? That can be a bad accident because people didn't see that there's a boundary there that they're supposed to adhere to. Moats with alligators. There's just all kind of boundaries. So then when we think about if we have weak boundaries in the natural, like I just said, the stop sign, you can be in an accident. Well, and I said fences are boundaries. Well, I have some horses and my fence wasn't as good as it should have been. And I get a call one morning about 6 o'clock and one of my horses was in my neighbor's swimming pool. Roy Lee's not in here now. He saw it. Roy Lee was there. My horse was okay. The swimming pool wasn't. But I didn't have a good boundary. And it caused a big, expensive problem. And it could have hurt my horse, but it didn't. Because of weak boundaries. So missing boundaries in the spiritual world also cause problems. They're just as real, but harder to see. Boundaries define us. They define what is Eddie and what is not Eddie. Boundaries define what is Otis and what is not Otis. Missing boundaries in the spiritual world will take us into bad areas. Boundaries in our relationships separate each of us into different identities, into different responsibilities, into different privileges. A boundary creates the space between us that we need. Healthy boundaries will define expectations on each other and for each other. I'm going to show you just a couple quick things. And as I think about what we're teaching today, I think about talking about the burdens or the loads that we all have and how creating healthy boundaries will remove that stuff that we pack around with us. So here is Eddie's space. I'm in a square space. And Eddie's got things in his life. You know, I got a family, I got a business, responsibilities, and that's my space. That's my things. But then constantly we have all these outside things going on. This morning I got here early because I had some things to do. I had those copies to make that you got, had to get the easel ready, had to do different things. So I get here early. Well, there's like four people that come to me and need things. So here was my responsibilities immediately this morning, but there's these other things all around us all the time. And they're trying to get in here. So this morning I'm like, Lord, I don't understand this because different people needed different things and I was glad to be able to help. But then praise God, you know what? There was a few people that came to me and said, what can I take care of for you? What can I do? How can I help? You see how that worked? So they stepped in and took things away from me and helped make it easier. So it balanced out. But when you already have the things that you're supposed to do and there's no room for anything else, and all these outside things are trying to get in there, and some of them get in. So look, when they start getting in, what happens? Where'd Eddie go? Eddie's too full. So we've got to create these boundaries. So, take a look at that chart you got. And again, I said, this is going to be short. I have condensed it. The first thing you have in those sheets is a round chart. It's not real round because I free-handed it. But it looks something like this. And in the center of that, write things I control. Things you control. What are things you control? You control. Your job, your hobbies, just the things in your immediate control, your actions. You can make a big list. Your time, your thoughts. As you look at that, think of the things that are in your immediate control that are up to you. Your words, your ideas, your effort, your mistakes. So you have that little circle, things that are in your control. And here's where we get so out of balance and mess these boundaries up. In the outside circle, you have things outside of your control. And those are the things that so many people are spending time with, the things outside of your control. So what's outside of your control? Other people's actions. Well, you can't control people. What we want, it's like, no, what they do is out of your control. See, your happiness is in your control. Other people's happiness or foolishness is not in your control. Other people's ideas, other people's behaviors, other people's ignorance, out of your control, has no bearing on your life. Other people's words. How many times do we get hurt? Well, they said something and that hurt. But it's in your control to not let that hurt. Because they didn't know it hurt. They didn't make it hurt. That's out of your control. Other people's... But see, we're trying to take what's in our control and take things that are out of our control and place them in our control, especially in the body of Christ. We're going to get them saved. We're going to get them thinking the way we want them to think. We're going to get them healed. We're going to make them this. We're going to make them that. Uh-uh. That's not in your control. What is the one thing you always hear people say that God can't do? Override your will, right? That's what God cannot do. But the human race thinks we can override people's will. So on your sheet, think about things that are in your control, and you think about things that are out of your control. So why would you allow the things that are out of your control to bother your happy place? Because what you control is your happy place. Boundaries tell us what our limits are, and God placed them there to help us. And when you realize that other people are never going to meet your expectations. I'll never meet your expectations of me. I'm going to say and do things that you don't think may be right. The worship team will sing things or say things or do things that you may not think are right. But you know what? you're doing things and saying things that don't meet their expectations either. It's outside of your control. Every one of us in here probably has had at one time or another a relationship that has drove us to distraction. And we say, do I let this person soak up all my time? Or is it okay to say no? Should I rescue them again? Or should I just let this experience and let them fall into the consequence of their actions? What should I do? Do I let it go, or do I approach them and say the tough things? Jesus drove the sellers out of the temple. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees' hypocrisy. Listen to this. Jesus turned potential followers away. Jesus didn't heal everybody that was sick. Jesus left the disciples to spend time alone with God. Can you imagine if Jesus would have catered to everybody's needs? When he went into a city, the people that needed healed, he would never leave that city. All he would be doing is ministering to people 24 hours a day if he could. And they would just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Jesus didn't do that. He went on to where he was supposed to go next and left them. He knew the things that were in his control, and he knew he could not fix all of this. And he was Jesus. So why on earth would you think you could fix the things outside of your control? Proverbs 29:25 in the Message Bible says, the fear of human opinion disables. Trusting in God protects you from that. So how do I know when it's time to go to someone and give them godly advice? When do I know if I should or shouldn't help? The summary of that passage right there is listen to God and not other people. The Bible commands us to take control of ourselves, but our human nature is we want to control everybody else. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 in the King James says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Personal boundaries help us to limit our selfishness, and they help us to stop manipulating and controlling other people. A person with clear boundaries communicates to others what is and is not permissible. That's why as we look at life groups, we set some new ground rules and just really established a good parameter for our groups to effectively be in and help each other in and to be able to effectively minister to each other in small groups. They're just fantastic. And in talking about that, if you're in a life group in here, stand up. If you want to know something about life groups or would like to get involved or want more information, see all these people standing up, just go talk to one of them. So, if you're protecting yourself or someone weaker from emotional or physical harm, then you're creating a healthy boundary. But But if you're maintaining a distance, or we're in little, and I said about life groups, you're maintaining a distance, or you get in a little clique, or you get in a little group, or those are unhealthy boundaries. So unhealthy. And I love what the direction that Pastor Otis has here for the life groups, that we're going to get together and meet every couple months, have a service together. People have opportunities to be involved in that and to share and give testimony and do things and say things. And so that's so these groups that are separate are also together, and we can work as the body. I just think it's an awesome concept. So we don't want to create separate little cliques or separate little groups. We want everybody to be involved in something besides just Sunday morning service. We want you to go deeper. I heard someone say this week, and I thought, wow, that was about right. He said, Sunday mornings are the unaccountability group. Oh, that kind of hurts, doesn't it? It's like, oh, man. But there's plenty. I'm not trying to take you from things that you cannot control. Because you can do so much good stuff, but it not be God stuff, okay? There's all kind of good things, but you want to do the God things. But here at Bethel, you heard pastors say we need nursery workers. There's so many opportunities here. You get nursery, the kids ministry, the youth ministry. Those are both awesome. I mean, our children's church and our youth ministry is awesome here. We've got people in sound. We got people in AV. We have ushers. We have greeters. We have food pantry workers. We have clothing store workers. I could keep going and going if I think here, but there is so many opportunities for you to find a God thing, not a good thing. And it'll help you search and seek out those things by being in a life group and being around people. And, you know, maybe you think you're supposed to be in the nursery. Well, try the spirits. Go do it. You may find out, I am not supposed to be in the nursery. We don't need God to tell us first. Try the spirits. Give it a try. So, if you need to feel led, I had a former pastor that always said, if you need to feel led before you do something, pick up a pencil. Fill all the lead you want. So boundaries are about taking responsibility for our own lives. God gives us freedom to choose to live within His boundaries or outside of His boundaries. To live outside of God's boundaries means to accept the consequences. Living inside God's boundaries brings blessings. Romans 6:23 in the King James, living outside of God's boundaries can bring destruction. She didn't get that one. But Romans 6:23 says, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I had something here I wanted to read by a gentleman named Dan Kopk, if I'm saying that right, Kopk. Removing toxic people from your life. It doesn't matter whether someone is a relative, romantic interest, employer, childhood friend, or new acquaintance. You do not have to make room for people who cause you pain or make you feel small. It's one thing if a person owns up to their behavior and makes an effort to change. But if a person disregards your feelings, ignores your boundaries, and, quote, continues to treat you in a harmful way, then they need to go. So don't think because you love Jesus that you can't let people go in your life. Because the word love does not equate to the word nice. Nice and love are different things. Sometimes to love someone is you get to let them go. They are toxic to you. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13. We don't have to read it, but Adam and Eve, God gave Adam and Eve the boundaries of the Garden of Eden. Third chapter in the Bible, and God set these boundaries. And he said, this is all yours and it's all good. And you're going to have food every day and you're going to have joy and happiness nonstop. They'll never go away. And you just be fruitful and multiply. You talk about living in utopia. Having a beautiful spouse or a good-looking husband, running around naked all the time. Anything you want. Hey, anything you want to eat, whenever you want to eat it, and you don't have to cook it, you don't have to clean the house, you are beyond happy. Your wife never nags at you. Your husband never nags at you. It's like, oh my golly, Nez. And then to top it all off, God said, hey, be fruitful. Go start multiplying. He's like, and they gave that up. I've been married 25 years, and in the evening, you know, Trisha's got these things. I think they got built-in feet, and they're flannel and big and heavy, and they didn't have no clothes. And God didn't give them all these rules. He gave them, you know, he said, go have fun, multiply. But no, here's the one boundary he said. Leave this tree alone. Just leave this tree alone. But we can't stand it, can we? That one doesn't write very good. Here's the tree in the garden. And it's out of our control. But you know what? God said, it's over here. It's not, so don't bother it. But what do we have to do? We said, no, this one thing that we're told don't, we've got to bring it in our control. We want it in our control. It's got to be in our control. So then, in I love this, in 12:13. So God comes down and says, what did you do? Okay, I'm reading. So God comes down and says, what did you do? And the woman says, the serpent told me to do it. And the man says, the woman told me to do it. They immediately, the things that were in their control, they had to, they told me to do it. The woman blamed the serpent and the man blamed the woman. And then they had to put clothes on. We just can't stand not being able to control things. Healthy boundaries will cause you to take responsibility for you and your life and will allow others to live their life. Healthy boundaries should make sacrifices for someone in a crisis, but unavailable for folks in trivial demand. You get those phone calls. And back to our first chart, we think because, well, I'm a Christian and these people constantly need help. So this is what they're doing to us. We don't need to meet their trivial demands. We don't need to counsel on the telephone 3 hours a day. I can never remember his name. It was the largest church in, I believe it was Seoul, South Korea. And I can't remember his name, but yeah, that's it. Say it again.
Oh, Yonggi Cho.
I read an article about him several years ago. And when folks would come to him and say, hey, man, I need some counsel, Otis. I don't know what to do about this. You know what he told them? And we've shared this at our life group. He said, will you go read through the Bible 5 times? And then if you haven't got it worked out, come see me. You had thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I mean, it was like 100,000 people or something. I mean, it's an unbelievable amount of people. Will you read through the Bible 5 times? And then they start doing that over here at our Christian counseling. Come in and say, hey, read through the Bible 10 times. And if it don't work, come back. How bad do you want counsel? But you're willing to go beg for it when that person's given up their time and all their resources to help you. But sometimes you got to put a little effort into it, don't you? Yeah, sometimes you got to do a little bit. Oh, go read through the Bible 5 times. Next time you need to talk to pastor about something, just read your Bible 5 times and see if it's still pertinent. Come on. His time's precious and valuable too. He's got chickens to take care of and goats and, come on. Rabbits, they're in his control. You are not. You're not. His chickens and rabbits are, and his goat. You're not in his control. I know you don't. You're like, yeah, because he's my pastor. I'm in this. No, you're not. This is his right here. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? Instead of tear it off. Darn. So, being godly is not a blank check for others to continually drain your emotional account. Saying yes out of fear of being rejected is a selfish motive for being kind. Who has done? I did that last week. Something I did not want to do. Someone approached me here at a week time last Sunday morning, and I wanted to move on, and they've been asking me this, and they asked me again, and I said, okay, yes. I didn't want to say yes, but I did. But see, I'm already doing this, and this that I feel I'm supposed to do. But I said yes because I wanted to be nice. Now I have to take care of it. Because you got to let your yes be yes and your no be no, right?
That's right.
Was I afraid someone wouldn't like me a little bit if I said no? Is anybody getting anything here? Boundaries teach us to accept one another as being different yet still valuable. So if I tell any of you no, I still love you. You're still my brother or sister. But my no means no. Sometimes people will wear you down, huh? God wants us to use our boundaries to help us appreciate the differences in people rather than be upset by them. Okay, we're going to wrap this up, and this is a part that I want everyone to go home with. I'll show you here in a minute. I'm just briefly touching on my notes. A godly friend tells us what we need to hear, not necessarily what we want to hear. I remember in the Bible, Jethro's, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, Moses was helping all the people, and they were all going to him, and he had to make every decision for them. What do we do here, and what do we do here, and what do we do here, and how do we, and he would tell him, yes, you are hearing from God, no, you're not, here's what you need to do, here's what you don't. His father-in-law goes to him and says, Moses, you can't do this, man. You are wearing yourself out. You can't take care of all the people. And he was right. So then Moses said, okay, so I need to set things up so people can take care of people. That's kind of like our life groups, isn't it? Guess what? You can't go to pastor's house every day and him help you out. There's too many of us. But we can each fit in a life group, and those folks can help us when we need it. We can share when we need to share, because sometimes we just need to talk. You don't get to talk on Sunday mornings. You just sit there. Well, get in a life group and you can talk. I had someone come to me today and said, I feel so bad because I like to talk in life group. I'm like, what? Don't laugh that loud. Now they're really laughing. So it's like, no, that's what we want to do at life group. I just want to throw the stuff out there and you talk and share and grow from each other. And yeah. So a godly friend tells us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend. Sometimes they tell us what we don't want to hear. Here's what to leave with. The middle sheet, okay, in your little book there. The last sheet is just something for you. I wrote down some signs of healthy boundaries. I'm going to do a little illustration and a little example here, and this is what we're going to close on. And I want you to take this serious and think about it this week. One, okay, you have that. This is an example. The middle page, it says top priorities for my life. You see that, everybody there? Top priorities for my life. This will help you. I used to work out with a guy. And we did a lot of weightlifting, and he had a lot of instructions and teachings on weightlifting, so he was always helping me, teaching me what to do and not to do. And when we bench press, we'd do three sets. And the first set was as much weight as you could handle as many times as you could do it. And then he did it backwards of what most people do. The second set, he put more weight on it. And you did as many as you could do. And the last set, he put more weight on it. And the last set, when I would do the very last one that I had in me, he would stand over top of me and he'd say, come on, come on, come on. You got to do one more for God, one more for God. Come on, come on, one more for God. And I would usually get that one more. And then he'd go, family, God, then family. You got to do one more for family, one more for family. Come on, one more for family. Sometimes I could get family and sometimes I couldn't. And when I could get family, he'd go to friends. You want more for friends, one more for your friends. And I never got one for my friends. So I don't know who fit after friends. I never got that far. What are the top, you should not have more than four. Most people only have two or three. The top priorities in your life now. The first one, if you're in this room, the first one should be simple. The top priorities for your life now, number one, should be God. And that's not church, and that's not life group, and that's not nursery. No, God. For me, number two is just what he said. For me, number two is my family. That's my one and two. God first, my family second. Third could be several different things. If you have three, could be friends, it could be your health. For illustration's sake, let's say we have three. We have God. Okay, I have God, family, and health, number three. So I'll quit there. Now, you think of your two or three things, and you may have four, your very top priorities. Then, if you look underneath, you'll see it says non-negotiables. Number one, non-negotiable. If God is your number one priority, guess what you're going to do every day? Every day. Every day. You're going to pray. You may attach read to that for you. But if God is your top priority, you will pray every day. A non-negotiable is something that gets done every day, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, your non-negotiables get done every day. So that'll help shorten your priority list, won't it? Your non-negotiables happen no matter what. So if God's first, a non-negotiable would be to pray. If your family's second, a non-negotiable may be, I'm going to eat 5 meals at the table with my family. 5 meals a week at the table. That's a non-negotiable. It doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what happens, you do that every day. Now, see, you got to make your own. If health was number three, you could pick several different things. It could be your diet, could be your exercise. If health is number three, you say you're going to exercise at least 15 minutes a day. I want everyone in here to take that list home and think about it. What are the priorities in your life? This is all on creating healthy boundaries. If you have one, maybe you can't get any further than just the one priority now, God. Okay, so I'm going to pray every day. That's all that'll fit because I have so much of this that I still have to work on. You figure out what are your top priorities and then what your non-negotiables are. And it'll help you to create a better balance. And then the last page in there you can read yourself. It's just some different things talking about healthy boundaries, signs for healthy boundaries. So I'll close with saying, in godly relationships, both people are free to love each other and to be themselves because neither is using or manipulating the other. And that's the type of relationships that are created in life groups. Amen. Pastor.
Man. Creating healthy boundaries in our life. This is very important for us as we continue to grow and move into our life group ministry, expand it, because we always must recognize the responsibility that we have in our relationship with other people. And we must be honest with each other about our boundaries. Otherwise, we're all going to be like Eddie and doing things that we don't necessarily want to do or should be doing all the time. How many do that? Come on. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I'm glad it's not just me and Eddie. We do. And yet, I got to tell you, when I truly respect somebody who has their boundaries and they tell me right up front, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that because it's just outside of my boundaries. that I respect that, because I don't have a problem with wondering whether they're going to do things that they feel like God is calling them to do. That's where the bottom line is. If I ask somebody to do something and they feel like God is calling them to do it, and they've told me in the past, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that, but if they feel the call of God, they're going to be there and they're going to do it. That's what we're all about here, and that's what we're trying to do with our life groups, is get into a place where we absolutely are hearing from God. Ask everyone to stand with me. Holly, you can stop back, look at our life group fair. Also, don't forget to stop and check out Tony's ministry. See what you can do to help her out. Appreciate everybody's prayers for that. I really believe in what she is doing there. She is putting, they are giving their time and their talents to minister life to these ladies. And it's incredible. You know, for those officials who admit it, some have, the only thing that is working in our penal system is faith-based ministries that are reaching them. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we're just so thankful of what you are doing. Thank you for this awesome word that Eddie has given to us this morning. We learned so much from this. We ask that you'd guard and direct us all. Lord, as we go from this place, we'll come back with expectation throughout this week as we enter into our life groups. We will have fellowship and time together and fun, but we will grow together, Lord. We continue to ask for your wisdom and your strength and your protection, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.